Say it's rainy, huh? That rain will not ruin this day. As a matter of fact, we're going to find a way to enhance it. Hello, folks, and welcome. Sports Saturday, DOC, back in the air chair. And, of course, the Hokie himself, Wesley, is by my side. And I've watched this young man. I've seen him covering his coverage with the D.C. Defenders and very disappointed that last time we hooked up, Wes, they had not lost.
Yeah, they were, well, they had lost week one, but they won five in a row.
Yeah, 5 in a row. And then now this is 3 in a row. So we get hooked up on streaks, and that's not good. I have to shout out, again, whenever, man, I tell you what, following you two in the morning, and the spirit is Craig Awad, man. He's just a ball of fire. And when he fills in for JP, B mentioned Finley, man, it's going to be crazy because he's going to be spitting flames. And I love it. The holiday, the wetness, I can hear a little bit in your voice. Does the wet weather bring you down?
It does. You know, I was actually driving this morning. I thought, you know, I'd rather have 95 degrees than it be raining for 30 hours straight.
Yeah, but you know, we've all, the longer you live, obviously, the more experiences you get, the more diversity in the experience. And I was just trying to, now dealing with Anthony Haney. and it's amazing because of our difference in age. And the reps, just like what you're for yourself, as to how many more Memorial Days that I've just been on Earth more than you. So obviously I have a different, my text on it, yeah, I've had a number of these that are rainy. You start figuring out, what do you create out of it? Number one, most people will relish in the fact that they're not at work. And they'll take that. But I thought about this morning, I go, now, this is not a light rain. This is torrential. This is raining. This is that park thing that whatever you want to say. And just a week earlier, it was scalding hot. It seemed like it was 100. And then now, so I'm wondering who's going to get creative, especially for the grillers, who I feel bad for are the real artists that get behind them flames and produce masterpiece today. This is their stage, man. I mean, this is like your runway. This is what it is all about. And then you deal with this. So I wonder what alternatives, what will be brought out of this today that wouldn't happen had it not rained like this? That's going to be our question. It's going to be our challenge. Defenders down, then the Nats and the and the Braves. I stopped getting angry when we lose. I like to try to make it collective so that I got a little bit of investment in all of our locals. I found it, for me, it's the best way to balance it. I want to have some emotion into it. I want to care. And kind of take it when we don't win. But some of this stuff, man, you can actually be brutalized over. And this is just, you know, a way to make something up to make me feel like I'm involved. You know what I mean? Like you try to play off the Hokie Buckeye thing, but you're so invested in Ohio State success, and that you can't hide it.
That's right. You're correct.
And, yeah, and I feel for you because I'd like to see you be free, but you're never going to be free.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I feel like that really comes with college football. I mean, people are so passionate. That's why it's the golden age of college football. People are so passionate about their teams in a good way. I mean, but at times it can be unhealthy.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean,
well, it's just like, we'll get into the obvious, masters of the obvious, you know, the Hoops, the Thunder, Spurs, Knickerbockers, and the Cavaliers. And everybody, you know, you make a statement from what your eyes tell you right now. And after day one, we thought we were going to just cancel everything and just name him the greatest player ever and cancel the sport. The beauty about all of this is when depth is revealed, talent is uncovered. During this time of the, in the most critical time of the year, that's what I like most about this. And the feelings that you have, like, I just don't know. I don't feel like Cleveland can win. I refuse to buy into a guy that refuses to play defense, yet he's a hell of an athlete. So I go, maybe that's just my generation. That's why I couldn't wait to hook up with you today. So I could say, what is your attitude towards these elite athletes that are gifted as heck on offense, but just flat out refuse? They quit on themselves and they don't give a damn about their team. I mean, when they give you a half-ass effort on defense.
Who comes to mind, honestly, James Harden. I mean, I feel like that's the epitome. Like, that's the guy who he can.
He's
play.
The poster boy.
I mean, he.
But he's not really not the poster boy, but he's one of them. Because there's a three musketeer deal, or you just got to call the king the king. And that's King Luka.
Well, I mean, that's what happened when the Cavs were up by, what, 20, 22 points?
Yeah.
They blew it.
21, yeah.
In overtime? I mean, come on. That's when you got to focus on the defensive side. And they didn't do that.
Well, but to blatantly, in other words, he's not thought of as an ogre within society. People buy his cards and his gear. I just decided that I'm out. If you got the nuts to say publicly you're not going to do something in a team sport and still be heralded by it, I'm out. Then I'm out of that club.
Well, this is why people have problems with the NBA.
It's not the NBA. It's the individual.
But it's a collective. It's the vibe that's going around throughout the league, and it suffers
baseball
as a whole.
Baseball has the same warts. Every sport has the same warts. I don't buy that NBA stuff. That's hiding behind another whole dark issue. They ain't got a damn thing to do with the NBA when every sport, no sport has been more corrupt than baseball.
Yeah, but the thing is that the viewership is a byproduct of the NBA. I mean, look at the viewership has been terrible for the NBA. They had to lower the salary cap because the local media is suffering. But in baseball, it's going up. It's up by 22%.
He recently, yeah, okay. Playoff numbers, I think different. But we understand that. Whether or not we admit it, but we still understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the NBA can get to a point. I think the competitive nature of the NBA has changed since in the last 10 years when it was John Wall and Bradley Beal here with the Wizards and now throughout the NBA. I don't think that, I mean, you make the comments all the time. Are you here to make money or are you here to win championships? I don't think
I'm the exception to the rule. Don't take my deal.
No, I'm saying that personality is around the NBA more than ever.
I think the beauty about this is that when we're honest, we're at our best. That's why I love this format. That's why I love radio so much. Because it has less BS than television does. But the facts remain that when we hear from the people, when you watch it, I'm not asking anybody else to join it. I don't give a damn if you decide to do it or not. But I'm not going to have a guy, if he's on a team that I favor and he's as talented athletically as Luka is. And he just refused. He shuts his body off on one side of the team, of the game. What? And then you watch OKC and you watch San Antonio and these boys, the way they defend and the way they go. I go, wow. So I go, well, I'll just personally boycott the people themselves then. If you got the stones to tell me publicly what you're not going to do and you want me to buy your jersey, if I buy it, that's on me. Not on you. I don't blame you. But I said, I'm out. 21-point lead. dude, and you lose. I go, what? And I was gone because I was watching Law and Order. I don't watch Routes. I watch it after the fact. If you come back, I'll check it on the second hand. That's pathetic to me in championship competition. Absolutely pathetic. And yet these guys have shoe deals. They got all these deals. That's not their fault. It's our fault. So when these kids are coming off the bench now for OKC, for San Antonio, and balling out and playing hard, they have depth. Programs are generating positive results from conditioning and training. I think we should applaud that.
The NBA focused on player marketing. And I think that's where it ended up hurting them. Because you have fans who are 18 years old, 16 years old, down in Texas, and they're a Lakers fan. Or they're a Utah Jazz fan. And instead of rooting for their hometown team.
Well, hometown, suppose you're military. What does hometown mean? I mean,
that's a very small size. Like, I mean, you're being very specific. I'm talking about this generic guy, a kid who's lived in Texas his whole life, and he just likes a certain player. He likes LeBron instead of rooting for his hometown Mavs team.
Okay.
I mean, and that goes back to what I'm talking about, the whole media. I mean, the media, local media, is struggling in the NBA because they focus on big markets. That's it. And that's why Major League Baseball is so successful, because people, they don't care about the out-of-towners.
Okay. I guess. Put them in superstar status in my mind. If you blatantly refuse to be complete and wouldn't even give an effort, and then your team loses, that's my point.
JP and B Mitch were talking about the face of the league and who was it. They disagreed. Who is it in your mind?
The face of the NBA?
Yes. At least the future.
Oh, that's a loaded question. Future, what future means? Future 10 years, 15 years, 5 years?
2 years, I think.
LeBron James. It goes by Steph Curry, LeBron James, in terms of popularity and how long they've been in front of you, how many ads, how many just the sheer popularity.
The new generation.
And new generation. See, Oklahoma City, again, the size of the market. Then I'll go with what you were saying. And if he's not one of the big three teams, not the Celtics, the Lakers, or whomever, I think SGA and Wemby right now is trending because it's been in my face over and over and over. But I still would have to consider, again, King and Steph not have been completely out of it as we speak. Other than for injury. Because if they're not hurt and they're still balling, doing their thing, I think they still maintain a hell of a presence just on how often they've been around us, in front of us. And again, for you and I, it's going to be night and day because we represent two completely different markets.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of, like you said, the trending in this direction – for the next generation, it would be SGA and Wembanyama, and they happen to be also playing each other right now. So,
but my point was that if you get a Luka who refuses, he's an athletic freak, but he cuts his engines off on defense. And then I watch SGA and I watch the Alien, how these guys compete on both ends. What I'm saying is that we got to be smart enough to recognize that. We, the consumer, have to be smart enough. If a guy's cheating you, then I don't want to stuff his coffers. I don't want to make him a fat rat. That's what I'm saying. What part of this do you not understand?
I don't understand your question.
Luka. You see the way Luka plays defense?
When he's 100% healthy?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. No, I don't. And if it's really good, I can't imagine that he's elite at it.
But it's something that you've never really put a lot of focus on.
No. And that's okay. That's probably telling in itself.
That's cool. That's cool. That's why we have an audience. 1-800-636-1067. Because there's a slim margin, but you might be right. All I'm saying is that a 21-point deficit in a playoff game, for you to get snatched and lose to me, makes me throw up.
And
when one of the guys on the floor refuses to compete.
And that's going to be their downfall, because now they dropped game two and they got blown out in game two, and now they have to face that game three's tonight.
Well, I'm going to ask Coach Naki. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, because he's a man who's an elite athlete, coached, played, been around the game a lot, and see what he thinks about it, because he's got more hoops invested in himself than the two of us combined times 10. But it's just an observation, which we all have the ability to make, because we're the consumer. We're watching it. And I think the competitive nature between OKC and San Antonio, that's fun. I enjoy watching that. I enjoy watching, you know, young Wimby, really SGA's young. His style is still going to be somewhat controversial because of the, quote, they say flops. And the way he engages and gets to the line. So what does your generation think about that? You think he's trying to engage contact? Is that playing by playing fair? Or is that just hoops?
SGA?
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely playing within the guidelines.
Oh, okay. I don't disagree. I like his game.
It's just more, are the refs being too lenient? Can you allow them to be more physical within the game? That's the bigger question to me. You know, people are complaining about it, people who know more than me, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's, hey man, it generates interest. I think it's cool. All the styles are different. When one player legitimately is injured, you're playing shorthanded. This is where I think that the ultimate winner, OKC's depth, it's one thing to have known, and that's the unknown. But when you see it come before you, how can a team at a championship level, if you've got a player hurt, especially guards, not that many people in this level, at that league, they play a position, but do they have the prerequisite skills to be elite at it? AKA, can you, without your primary ball handler, if he's hurt, now what? Now you see a difference. Now you see a difference. And that's the strategic part about the game that I love it. Break down in one area. You got a guy, you don't have a great handle, we're going to exploit him. We're going to turn him over. Turn him over like a pancake. And then you got a big that and they're matching up. And these unsung heroes. Notice how every championship team has an unsung hero. Yep. That is the beauty of it. Sports Saturday. DOC and the Hokie hooked up here on 106.7. The Fan. It's been a minute for your boy. It's a lot of fun to be back and doing what we do. We take a quick break right now. Is that protocol, Wesley?
We got Chris Naki on at 12:30.
Yeah.
So we got 2 minutes.
Okay, we got two. Okay, cool. I like that even better.
What matchup are you looking forward to the most right now? When you see is it San Antonio and OKC like we saw last night?
Oh yeah. I'm not even. I'm done with the other one. I really want to see what the injuries, what moves are made, what adjustments are made, who can come out and play. Guys are going to post, but can they be themselves? And I think where, this is why I mentioned the primary ball handler. If you are San Antonio, you got an issue if you can't get the ball penetration that you need, which really sets up a lot of those lobs for Wimby. But if you got a guy that can't handle, you got a problem. Wimby can see, he can still hit some pops, but it's just not the same. Everybody wants to be in the rhythm that got them into these playoffs. That would be my question. That's what I'd be looking for. And cause of death was, now that has been discovered that it's a form of pneumonia. That I thought that was interesting, to just for people to note, because it was a mystery. You know, you go in 24 hours later, 36 hours later, that was kind of unusual. But just an awesome athlete, awesome competitor. I just wanted to make sure that I touched that box and made sure I caught up to date on that. I don't know if you had known that it had been discovered that it was pneumonia.
Yeah, I got that report this morning. I saw it, devastating.
That bothered me.
I believe that he was racing up in Dover a couple of days ago.
Just one. Yeah, I mean, dude was a stud. Yeah, absolute stud. And I don't know if you got a chance. No, you couldn't have. No, I can't say, because I don't know what you're 20. I give him a fun bunch high five for surviving it, consciously being there and being able to do their jobs, which they all did. And I can't imagine had you been there, if you would have survived.
I was running the board. Came here, got here 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, so you did? Okay, so you heard the whole thing. I heard. Okay.
Yep.
Hell of a job.
Thank you.
Hell of a job. Yeah, that was
it was a good show.
You were on a roll.
Thank you. Yeah, they're putting me on the spot. Got to interview Stephon Diggs the other day. You can go check that video out on our Instagram, 106.7 The Fan.
He's a good dude, man. Yeah, I always have enjoyed him. Highly productive player, and that's, you know, our situation here is still got a lot of moving parts. Yeah, it's got a lot of moving parts, and we will discuss that. Donna Hopkins. Skeletos on the ground covering the Commanders like a playtex glove. She's going to join us today. But Coach Naki is, I had to make sure he didn't have a tee time. And then I was for the weather. I said we might get a chance to get him since it's raining and he can't go out and take his new clubs and show them off. So we come back here on Sports Saturday. Coach Naki joined us and we'll talk some round ball and get his perspective. I'm going to even ask him a little bit about barbecue and what Coach Naki does sometimes if he puts the apron on. We'll be right back. Navy Mo, retired Navy on X, says the UFL defenders have driven off a cliff into the blue reflection pool. It is disappointing, no doubt about it, but we care. They're not out of it. Maybe stay stumbled a bit, but not out of it. And now this is the fun part about when you get these big-time assignments and you get to call up your big-time buddies, you know, all the guys that have made it in life, the ballers, and you get to say, hey, Coach Naki, we would love, man, if we could share your knowledge for a segment today on Sports Saturday. And he says he has a, you know, his personal assistant calls you back. And I go, because it's raining, I just assumed that Mr. Naki would not be able to go to the club. And
he's not there right now. I just gave him a message. But we're going to get him on real quick, talk some ball with him.
Okay, so you left him a message, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
But I know you're mentioning defenders. I mean, it's just been tough. I know you probably saw Jordan Tamu.
Yeah.
Out for the year.
Well, see, that doesn't See, but that explains it. It doesn't mean that they failed. When you lose your quarterback in that sport, obviously the most dependent player on of all team sports is football's quarterback. They're not failures, but they got to make an adjustment. And I don't think we'd expect the same results without their field general. And I'm sure you agree with that. But it's injuries are part of the game, man. I always come back with the same example for those of you that have been listening for a while. And it's probably so good that it happened. What would I do without this? But Earl Morrill, Bob Greasy, the only undefeated team ever in the NFL was the Miami Dolphins. And they did it in part with their backup quarterback because Greasy had broken a leg. That is what every coach amplifies. Now, whenever there's an injury, you know that it has been done before to where a team, a club, was able to overcome that and find victory. So courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, we are proud to bring back Coach Inaki. And as I said, when I was trying to get in contact with your staff earlier today, and I figured that with the rain, that maybe you would not have gone out and played today, so we might have a shot at you. And
well, you're funny, Doug. I'm sure my staff told you that I only golf during the week because I can do less damage to other golfers. There's a lot less traffic out there, so that's my strategy.
Oh man, so much is going on. I was talking with Wes and I. It's a great deal, the dynamic, because of our age disparity. I've seen things. We both see things from a different lens. And my flat refusal to support James Harden and Luka, guys that just athletes who refuse to play defense, I'm done. And I just wonder from you as a player, former player, and a coach, and a guy who understands the game from the ground up, am I at fault? I obviously need to grow up and mature, but to the point where I just despise a dude that's been blessed with that kind of talent and refuses to participate in what would help his team be better?
You know, well, first of all, I can't help you with your maturity level, Doc. That ship has sailed, you know? So let me take you back to the series before this with Minnesota was playing. You know, Minnesota was playing, yep, San Antonio. Uh-huh. And with Rudy Gobert on the floor for Minnesota, effectively you are playing 4-on-5 because he's such a non-factor offensively. And in this day and age, with so many complete players and so many great athletes too, they go to Cleveland, New York, and on one end of the court, it's 4-on-5. It's James Harden at complete liability. The Knicks work their matchups so that whoever has Harden on him is, you know, is taking his meal money, you know, whenever they want to do it. And the thing is, too, Doc, is that maybe 10 years ago when Harden was playing offensively at an MVP level, maybe he did enough for you offensively that you can live with the shortcomings. But that ship, that's over with. That is, you know, he's a turnover machine. He's not shooting the ball particularly well. This is playoff James Harden, and as miraculous as he's been during the regular season in his career, and he's put up, he's a Hall of Fame player, yeah, offensively. He's just a complete liability when money's on the line. And remember what the NBA playoffs are all about: defense. They're all about it's all about strapping it up, you know, and holding people down. And he's not built for that. Never has been. There was a time where I was always amazed at him, you know, offensively, and the array of skills and the ways that he could score and everything. But man, this is it. And not only that, on the subject of James Harden, while we're on it, think about think about what this does for the future of the Cavs. They did this trade, and they did it. Harden agreed to the trade because he got guarantees from Cleveland that they would re-sign him. So now you gave up a point, you know, a good young point guard in Garland, to get a guy who now is not just an albatross here during this series. What do you do moving forward with that? He's not, if he's not helping you right now, he's not going to be helping you next year at 38. So, man, Cleveland is kind of a deal with the devil, Doc, you know. And also similarly, make this a full circle conversation, that's what happened with the Timberwolves and Gobert. They gave up multiple first-round picks for Rudy and also gave away a perfectly good center in Walker Kessler, who now, you know, when he's healthy, can really play, could really have helped this team. So, I don't know. There's a lot going on there with Harden, and I know that's a wordy answer, but I love watching the playoffs, and these thoughts are ever-present with me.
Wesley, I know you've got an opinion, and I love you because you never hold it back, which is good. So let's hear it.
In terms of what we're hearing about James Harden and seeing from James Harden?
Well, you always represent your people, your young people, and your angle about this. So we see it from a different lens.
Well, I'm wondering why the NBA, when, you know, when the Wizards had John Wall and Bradley Beal, I mean, I even used to watch the Nets with Jared Allen and D'Angelo Russell. Why it feels different from 2018 to now? I mean, is it the popularity within the players have gone up, but the viewership as a whole has gone down? So I'm kind of confused on what the future will look like.
So I don't think the NBA looks at this as a and I'm not going to minimize viewership, but I don't think they look at it from a like a Nielsen's rating perspective. This has now become an international play, a global play. You know, you guys probably have already talked about this. Do you know who the last American-born winner of the MVP trophy was?
Was it LeBron or Steph?
It was 2018, and it was Harden, 2018. But that's a long run of global. Yeah. You know, you go from Giannis to Jokic, throwing Embiid in there 1 year, right, and then Shea. And I think the NBA sees itself as way more than this is not a Nielsen's rating operation, and the traditional way of looking at sports. I don't think the NBA does that. I don't think they're interested in that. And I you can say what you want about it, but I will say this just anecdotally. My son was telling me an amazing story. He, because he's young and he has some money in his pocket, he decided to go on like a 6-week tour of Southeast Asia, just, you know, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, you know, and he trained everywhere. He just, you know, he was kind of all over the countryside. He said he was just amazed at the number of NBA jerseys that kids were wearing on trains and on buses. And, you know, so I don't know if this is answering your question, Wesley, because I do like the question, but I think the league has changed. I think, as I said, the paradigm has changed, and I think that's kind of Silver's thing. And maybe he lucked into this. I don't know. But he's got just this huge number of international players, and now you've got Wemby. So it's a gift that keeps on giving. So I just think it's changed.
That's why the NFL is smart, because they jumped all over flag, because they knew tackle couldn't make them global, but flag could and would. It broadened the awareness. And these international games, they're gonna just keep growing, because they get it. They absolutely get it. The tube has changed. It's not the tube that I grew up on. You grew up. It's a whole new ball game now. So Wes is right, but he's wrong, because nobody cares about that group.
Yeah, and there's also the reason, and so the two things that are sort of diametrically opposed here are the fact that viewership is down, but the television money that is flowing through in this latest deal is crazy. It doesn't make sense if viewership is down. And I think what TV recognizes that this is a new day, and it's not kind of business as usual for this sports league. And I agree with you, Doc. I think the NFL was really smart. I'm really interested to see flag. I think it'll take off. I also think it'll bring women to the watching it, which brings more eyes, obviously. I think it's a really shrewd marketing play.
And it's fun to watch. I mean, Anthony Haney.
Yeah.
Our producer, you know, Burgundy and Gold today, he, you know, he's on a team, has won a championship, and it's entertaining to the eye. I can, you know, I can watch it and have fun with it. But it's just, but the game itself about Luka, who is athletic. Jokic, I call him Humpty Dumpty, and he gives you effort. Humpty Dumpty, it gives you effort. Luka, how can you just tell somebody what you're not going to do?
Yeah.
And then you're short. Now, if you're winning world championships with it, gone with your bad self. But he's not. And he didn't.
Yeah. And those are your Lakers, Doc. I mean, and
I know.
They have tied themselves and their future to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's sort of a star made for L.A., for, you know, for that community and that fan base. But ultimately, he could very well be the Achilles heel when they're, you know, in game seven of an important series, assuming that they ever get to a game seven.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. It may be in our lifetime. I mean, the way it's stacking up against them, they've got the Hollywood GM, the former player coach. They've got all these things to make a movie, but it's not going to bust a grape.
Yeah.
And because of the youth in OKC and San Antonio. How are you going to get beyond that? And I don't sell Steph out. Call me nuts. But Golden State, they're frightening to me. If they, because this dude is just.
Well, they're trying to also, if you believe what you read, they're trying to make a play for Kawhi. And say what you want about Kawhi. He had a monster year last season. And coming off of a huge year. And when he is. When he is right, he's as good as
it still is.
Yeah.
Is he ever going to age?
And you talk about a guy who will invest defensively for you. He covers, you know, four different positions.
Man,
Yeah, he's outstanding. And there are other teams on the rise out in the West, too. Wait till you see, depending upon how this draft shakes out, wait till you see the lineup that Utah can trot out there. They accumulated assets towards the end of the trade deadline, and then it really didn't play guys. They were one of the teams that tanked. But they could get a guy like DeBonta or, you know, the kid from Kansas to add to the guys they picked up, and they're gonna take a quantum leap next year.
So I got Danny Ainge, once again, is sly like a fox.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why if the Wizards are having trade talks, which maybe they are, maybe they're not, about swapping one and two, I would keep my wallet in my hand because, he would take it
but
from
you.
You know?
That's what I had. My contention was last week. I'm just going to. They started it. I have what I can. I'm comfortable with. But for me not to at least listen, because I've got a position of leverage.
Yeah, you have to have the conversation. And one of the things you also know is that the Jazz owner is the biggest booster at BYU. So there's an emotional attachment there.
Yeah. He's in love with the kid's future. Absolutely.
Yep.
So I think you plan the guy's taking him from middle school all the way up. Hey, man, take him to graduate school too. But what do I get? And do I get your next year's one? Do I get your best player now? He might do it because billionaires, and this is what I was saying, Anthony, they don't have a gauge. The gauge we have, they don't have it. No, really. Part of being a billionaire is that you don't have the gauge.
Yep.
So everything's possible for them. Imagine, Coach, if you never, ever had to count yourself out of anything because you had – it's possible because unlimited wealth gives you unlimited opportunities.
Yeah.
That's why they're horrible negotiators when it comes to sports.
Well, you were mentioning, we were comparing the NFL and the NBA. You've seen the NFL this year has 9 matchups outside the U.S., 7 different countries, you know, mm-hmm. Australia, Brazil, France, so on. Do we see the NBA hitting those markets in the near future? Because, I mean, you've talked about, you know, your son went to go, you know, went abroad and saw all these different uniforms. Are they going to go and play those games overseas?
I think 100% they will. They do already, but also think about it, just logically, you've got to get the Spurs to play some games in Paris, you know, right? Oh, that with Wemby on that team, it's easier to get to Europe for those games. You know, I mean, obviously it's problematic when you have a league that plays 3 or 4 nights a week. It's harder to fly, you know, the number of hours to Hong Kong or to Tokyo, you know, because that's scheduling wise, it's sort of problematic. But I don't think there's any question that they'll be playing in Europe. It's, you know, Madrid and Barcelona. I follow the NFL's model, but you've also got this huge influx of European talent and foreign talent. You got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And well, Coach Knock, man, it's always a pleasure. I don't really believe in the prediction thing, but what is your basketball knowledge and IQ tell you about the Knickerbockers in Cleveland? I hope Cleveland is swept from this point on personally, but that's just my immaturity. What do you see?
I think Cleveland is good enough to win a game or two, but New York is on a heater right now. And it's hard to believe it wasn't that long ago. They were down 2-1 to the Hawks. But I think they've won 8 straight or something like that since that point. They completely Houdini'd the Cavs in game one. The Cavs just choked that away. So I think Knicks probably win this like 4-1 this series. And I think the Knicks, you know, while watching it, Doc, this feels like a consolation tournament, watching the Cavs and the Knicks. I think the Knicks are good enough to give the Western Conference winner a series. I don't think they'll win it, but I think they're good enough to compete and maybe get to 4-2 or something like that. But San Antonio and OKC are just different level.
All right, my brother. Hit them long, hit them straight. Thank you, appreciate you for joining us.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Chris Knocke, man, as Coach Thompson would say, he's simply one of the best. And we can't get enough of him. Take a quick break. We come back. I got more to put Wes on the spot for. Love Wes, man, because he accepts the challenge. We'll be back. Wesley controlling. Can you imagine the brass left Wes in charge of pushing all these buttons on his own, unsupervised, I might add. Thank goodness they have that hidden camera in there to record every move he makes. But no, busting chops, Wes is, you're dominating, young man. You're doing a hell of a job. And what makes it work for you is that you love what you do. You would go to these games. You'd be doing this even if you weren't paid to do it.
Of course.
And that's the beauty about what Memorial Day weekend represents. People on that grill, it's not accidental. It's a calling. They've been called a grill. If you grew up with one, like my old man was, he griller, Marine. Grilling is, you're not cooking, you're grilling. It's a religious experience, and the people that do it ain't no joke about it. As much as we bust chops with Big Tony, he's serious. I posted some of his work on X today in the promo. That was his grill, him doing his thing. Now, I swore for years that it was his wife that was doing it. And I went by and saw it with my own 2 eyes. You know, it kills me to give him credit, but he has earned it. Grilling is no joke. I've never met a person that believes in that grill, puts that apron on, that's not about nothing but business. It's like a baller. Focus like Dick Butkus, man. It is serious. And I've never met a clown that grilled. I don't know anybody that's considered a clown disrespected for putting that apron on. So this is the rain don't kill it. It may damper a bit, but it don't stop it. It don't stop it. Nothing stops it. That's what makes this special. Then you throw in some sports. Hey, man, we got a hell of a salad that we can work with. Top of the hour. We're an hour away from Skeletos on the Ground. You know how good Naki is. Well, you know that Hopkins, she ain't playing. She bringing the heat, and we'll continue to do what we do. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Sorry, we won't hog the mic. Wes and I, man, we have a problem whenever we get together. Callers feel like they left out, so we're going to change that. 1-800-636-1067. I'll let you boys. We'll be right back in a moment.